sounds.
Alright.
Thank you.
Okay. Alright. Well, thanks for bearing with us, everybody. Appreciate that. And first of all, welcome. Thank you all for coming out. I know it's early, and some of you are probably going on only a few hours sleep, and you might have to drag yourself out of bed to be here. I really appreciate that. I'm Javier. This is Tokala Neshoba as Werewolf Nick Wilde, and we'll be your hosts for the next hour or so as we talk about a movie that's near and dear to my heart, and hopefully to yours as well, Zootopia. So, let me go ahead and just get situated here. Gotta love Clawhauser, right?
Yeah.
All right. Let's actually get slideshow mode. That would help. Okay. Looks like it's working. Rough breakdown here. Got a slideshow that'll last about 25, 30 minutes. Couple of clips. Those are only actually about 8 minutes or so. Then Tikal is going to say a little something, talk about, you know, how Zootopia has inspired him. And then for the last 15 minutes or so, I just want to open it up to general discussion. Just want to hear from anyone who'd like to share what Zootopia means to you, your favorite parts of the movie, how it's inspired you, anything at all that you'd like to share. That would be great. That was just a little funny thing that I made up there. My first time hosting a panel, so a little nervous, but mainly it's just really fun, so hope you guys enjoy and have a good time. And just wanted to put that out there. I have a hunch everyone here has seen the movie, but in case you haven't, I will be talking about...
What's that guy's name?
Nick something, right? Just in case you haven't, I will be talking about plot details. I tried not to, you know, give it all away and, not go into the big ones, but just wanted to put that out there as a disclaimer. Without further ado, let's start with the basics. So, what is Zootopia? So, Zootopia is a 2016 computer-animated buddy cop comedy film. It's the 55th feature film produced by Walt Disney Animation Studios. A little bit of trivia, the first was Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs back in 1937. Most recent was Wreck-It Ralph 2 this past November.
And Nick Wilde made a quick cameo in it, too.
Oh, did he?
Yes.
Oh, see, I haven't seen it. It's good to know.
Little
pop quiz. Anyone tell me what the next one's going to be? Yeah.
Frozen.
Yeah, Frozen 2. Very good. A+.
Frozen. That was Disney's first biggest hit since The Lion King.
It was.
I think the reason why that was so big was because it was a traditional classic style fairy tale princess musical. The kind everybody, it's pretty much the type of Disney everyone knows and loves with CGI. Same with Zootopia, how it's not like those other CGI talking anime movies. It feels like the Disney we know and love.
Absolutely. So, Zootopia, it's set in a world in which humans never existed and animals have evolved to human levels of intelligence and civilization. It tells the story of Judy Hopps, optimistic, determined bunny, who becomes the first of her species to serve on the Zootopia Police Department. And she enlists the help of Nick Wilde, a con artist fox, to help solve a missing mammal case. That is the super condensed version. Much more to the movie than that, of course, but if you need a one-sentence summary, that'll do the trick. So one of the great things about Zootopia, among many, is the voice cast. They really have a stellar voice cast. I think the filmmakers did a terrific job finding the perfect voice for each character to really capture that character's essence and soul. I'm just going to go through like the five or six with the most screen time just for time's considerations. Starting off with Jennifer Goodwin as Judy Hopps, our protagonist. Some of her other work, she's on the TV shows Ed, Big Love, and Once Upon a Time. Also in movies like Mona Lisa Smile, Walk the Line, just not that into you. Okay, can we talk about Jason Bateman as Nick Wilde? I mean, is there a better voice casting decision ever? Like, I can't imagine anyone else as the voice of Nick Wilde. Like, Bateman just has that perfect mix of sarcasm and charm, and I just love him. So I think that was a perfect casting decision. He was actually kind of a teen idol in the 80s. He was on the TV shows Silver Spoons and Hogan Family. More recently, of course, got a lot of acclaim for his work on Arrested Development. Been in a lot of movies, Juno, one of my all-time favorites, Horrible Bosses, and Game Night, to name a couple of others. And then we have Idris Elba as the tough, no-nonsense Chief Bogo, chief of the CPD's Precinct 1. Some of his other notable work, he was on the TV show The Wire. He played Charles Minor on a memorable story arc on The Office. He was also on Luther. Movies, he was in Obsessed. He's appeared in the Thor and Avengers franchises and also in Star Trek Beyond. And then we have Jenny Slate as a mild-mannered assistant mayor bellwether. Some of her other notable work, she was on SNL for a season about 10 years ago. Okay, if you haven't seen her as Mona Lisa Saperstein on Parks and Recreation, please go watch that as soon as you can. She's absolutely hilarious, along with her brother on the show, John Ralphio. They're like two of the funniest characters. Definitely check that out. Also on Big Mouth movies, she was an Obvious Child. I believe she voiced Gidget in Secret Life of Pets. And she was in Gifted, which I don't know if many people have seen, but it's actually a really good, totally different genre, like a drama, but really good movie. Another familiar face, J.K. Simmons as the pompous Mayor Lionheart. He was on Law and Order for a long time. He was on Oz, also The Closer. As far as movies, he appeared in the first Spider-Man trilogy. He appeared with Jason Bateman in Juno, and then he got a lot of praise for his work on Whiplash. I believe he won the Best Supporting Actor Oscar for that. And then we have Nate Torrence as Officer Benjamin Clawhauser. Very, very jolly guy, the desk sergeant / dispatcher for ZPD. He was on the TV shows Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip, Mr. Sunshine and Motor City, and he appeared in Get Smart, She's Out of My League, and The Big Year. And then, of course, Shakira as pop star Gazelle. No real introduction yet for Shakira. Over 140 million albums sold. Multiple Grammys. A lot of big hits, including Whenever, Wherever, Hips Don't Lie, Waka Waka, This Time for Africa. And, of course, Try Everything. I love that song.
They literally just made her first song.
Thank you.
It's like the new furry anthem.
In addition to being a big pop star, she's also a great philanthropist. For example, her Pia's Descalzos Foundation provides meals and education for 4,000 kids in Colombia. So she's done a lot of great charity work as well. Then the director's chair, we have Byron Howard and Rich Moore, a couple of Disney veterans. Byron Howard, he was supervising animator on Lilo and Stitch. He co-directed Bold, which a lot of people credit with kicking off the second Disney renaissance that we're still in. And he also co-directed Tangled. Rich Moore, he directed a bunch of episodes back in those early golden years of The Simpsons.
Yes.
Directed Wreck-It Ralph and co-directed the sequel, Ralph Breaks the Internet. And then they brought on Jared Bush to be co-director. He mainly worked in TV before Zootopia, co-produced the series All of Us, created the Disney XD series Pen Zero Part-Time Hero, and then was a screenwriter on Moana. So now we've gone over the cast and crew a little bit, let's talk about where Zootopia came from. So after he finished work on Tangled, Byron Howard wanted to direct a movie featuring anthropomorphic animals in the style of Disney's Robin Hood, which is one of his favorite movies. Unlike previous animated films where animals either live in the natural world or the human world. He wanted to depict animals living in a contemporary world of their own design. He put it, we've never seen animals in a modern world designed by animals. So that was kind of the idea that got everything going. Zootopia was officially announced in August 2013 at Disney's D23 Expo. So Howard originally pitched six ideas. These included an adaptation of The Three Musketeers, a 1960s set story about a mad Dr. Cat who turned children into animals, and a bounty hunter pug in space. So some very diverse ideas there. So Disney suggests that he combine the 1960s settings with the animal characters. So he went back to the drawing board, developed a new pitch called Savage Seas, basically an international spy thriller about a James Bond-esque Arctic hare named Jack Savage.
Chicken, not bird.
Very good. So at that point, they brought on Jared Bush to work as a screenwriter. And he was really excited to work on a spy movie since his father and grandfather had both worked for the CIA, which I thought was pretty cool. That's some concept art from some of those original six pitches. They all look really cool. I think Island of Dr. Meow, I think, is my favorite. Something about that cat face in the mountain just looks really cool.
It sounds like the Island of Dr. Moreau.
That's, of course,
the famous classic by H.G. Wells.
Right. So hopefully they revisit that at some point because it looks really cool. So as they were going through development, Howard realized that the best part of Savage Seas was the first act, set in a city designed by and for animals. So he decided to make that the focus of the movie. He dropped the 1960s settings, he dropped the espionage and international aspects, and gradually it developed into a modern police procedural with Nick as the main character and Judy as a sidekick. Disney always, at least it seems to me, does a lot of research for these kind of movies. They want to be authentic. So filmmakers did a lot of research. They went to Disney's Animal Kingdom. They went on safari in Kenya, went to the Los Angeles Zoo, San Diego Zoo, spent about 8 months studying various animals' walking and running patterns to translate them into two-legged walk cycles. They paid special attention to fur colors, wind effects, examined animal pelts at the Natural History Museum, talked to a lot of different experts, zoologists, animal behavior specialists, evolutionary scientists. And based on all their research, they decided to limit the film's characters to mammals. But according to Byron Howard and Rich Moore, birds and reptiles do exist in the world of Zootopia. We just don't go to those continents in the movie. So, you know, hopefully we get a sequel. We'll see some more of that.
Yeah, it's not like in Robin Hood where you all come together.
Right.
And some of English accents and some of American accents.
Right.
I like this quote from
Byron Howard. He was talking about a watering hole and how they looked the situation around a watering hole where you have predators and prey behaving because they both need something, water, and everyone's cool. They're kind of looking at each other cautiously. People are behaving, and that's very much like our city, meaning Zootopia. People are different in cities. They have to get together to live, and what does that mean? So I thought that was cool how they took inspiration from, you know, something they found in nature. So to bring the characters to life, they created this brand new tool called the eye groom. They use it to comb the characters' virtual fur, give each animal its own unique hair patterns and imperfections. Pretty crazy. So Judy and Nick each have about 2.5 million hairs, which is just nuts. Giraffe has 9 million. Crazy. Even a gerbil has almost 500,000. And then to recreate the underlayer of fur that gives like real animals that plush appearance, they created this imaginary layer with undercoating, and that let them change the thickness and density of the fur. I still don't really understand that, but it sounds really cool. and then they used this real-time display software called Nitro, which allowed them to see realistic renders of characters. and create subtle expressions. You can see a render of Doug there using the Nitro software. And then as far as creating the actual city of Zootopia, the filmmakers really went to great lengths to design a city in which animals of vastly different shapes, sizes, and habitats could all coexist. So, like, you have the separate boroughs based on climate, tundra towns, Sahara Square, the rainforest district. You have the trains with multiple sliding doors to accommodate passengers of various heights. You have smaller entrances with larger doorways, and many, many other things. Scale was a big issue for the filmmakers, because just having such a variety of characters. Ultimately, they decided to stick to four main sizes. They had tiny for mice, small for bunnies, regular, which is comparable to human size. Judy and Nick would fit in that category. And then jumbo for elephants. They consulted a lot of different experts, HVAC system designers, Americans with Disabilities Act specialists. They talked to Jay Mays, this former CCO of Ford Motor Company, to help design cars that, say, a giraffe could drive or a mouse could drive. As far as the look of the city, they took inspiration from a lot of different cities around the world. New York, San Francisco, Berlin, Moscow, just to name a few. They, pretty eclectic mix of inspirations there. They also made sure to include both ancient and modern architecture to make it feel like a real city where you have, older buildings next to newer buildings. So they really, wanted to make it seem like, this was a city that would actually exist in a world, populated by anthropomorphic animals. That's just a little map of Zootopia there. You can see Tundra Town, Sahara Square, Rainforest District. I know you can't really read the writing there, but it has some of the cool, like, travel posters and art from the various districts. So I thought that was cool. Another map there that shows like some of the main locations in the movie, as well as some that didn't make it into the final cut. The Wild Times and the Docks. I don't think Outback Island made it in either. Animalia was where they had the big gazelle concert at the end. So yeah, hopefully we'll see some of those other places with the sequel. So as the filmmakers were going along, they realized in November 2014 that they had to make a big change. To make the film work the way they wanted to work, they had to make Judy the primary character and Nick the secondary character. Byron Howard said, "We're telling a story about bias, and when you start the movie with Nick, through his eyes, the city was already broken. He didn't like Zootopia. So, the character that was going to help them tell that message was Judy. She's innocent, one can say a little naive, comes from a very supportive environment. She thinks everyone's beautiful. She thinks Zootopia is this perfect place where everybody gets along. And then she runs into Nick, jaded, he knows the truth about the world, and they start to kind of educate each other. And he said when we flipped that, it was a major flip, but it worked so much better." So interesting to think about, how it may have turned out if they hadn't made that change, if Nick had stayed the main character. It's also really cool just how these movies, grow and develop throughout the process. They start with one idea, and then, by the end, it can be a totally different movie. But I think usually it works out for the best. So I have to do with the box office. It did really well at the box office. Debuted at number one over the weekend of March 4th to 6th, 2016, $75 million. Stayed at number one for 3 weeks. It fell just about 30% in its second and third weekends, which is actually really impressive. Generally, for a high-profile movie and wide release like Zootopia, if it can fall like 40% or less, that's considered a good hold. So the fact that it only fell about 30% showed that it was really benefiting from great word of mouth. Yeah.
I think what was surprising about that was the movie was released in March, which is generally kind of a slow period. So Zootopia was kind of like a surprise hit for Disney because it was, it could have been a holiday movie, but they didn't. They put it into spring instead, and then it just blew up.
It's a
billion-dollar movie, pretty much.
Absolutely, yeah. It also had staying power. Stayed in the top 10 for 13 weeks, again showing that it was really benefiting from great word of mouth, great buzz. Eventually made about $340 million domestically, which put it at number 7 at the 2016 U.S. box office. It's currently the second highest grossing Walt Disney Animation Studios movie behind Frozen. It was an equally big hit worldwide, grossed over $1 billion, very big hit in China, among other places. And it's actually only the fourth animated movie to cross $1 billion, the other three being Toy Story 3, Frozen, and Minions.
And as I said, Frozen was Walt Disney Animation Studios' biggest hit since The Lion King.
Absolutely. In addition to being very successful financially, it was also a big hit with critics and audiences alike. 97% positive on Rotten Tomatoes, 78 on Metacritic, which is really good for Metacritic. 8 out of 10 score on IMDb. Got an A from audiences on CinemaScore. Won a lot of awards, including the Oscar for Best Animated Feature Film. Definitely a big hit with critics. You can see some of the top critics' takes there. I like Katie Dreyse's quote there. It doesn't sugarcoat how difficult it is to change your ideas of others, but it does suggest how patently stupid many of those ideas are, which I thought was good. I also really like Jen Chaney's quote. She called it the best animated film of the year, as well as one that conveys a message rarely heard in movies for children. Getting exactly what you hoped for isn't the end of the journey. And I thought that was really insightful, because I feel like all of us kind of have that thing in our life that we really want, whether it's like promotion or, you know, dream house or vacation or whatever it is. And we feel like if we get that one thing, everything will be perfect. And for Judy, it was being a police officer. That's what she always wanted to be. You know, her lifelong dream, and she gets it. But it's only the start of her journey. It opens up all these new challenges. She has to, you know, reassess things and you know adapt. So I thought that was a good point there. So the question every fan of Zootopia, at least, has been wondering since the movie came out, is, are we going to get a sequel? So Disney still hasn't confirmed anything, but just this month, Tommy Lister, who is the voice of Finnick, told reporters that Disney is making 2 sequels. And we know that Byron Howard and Rich Moore have both expressed interest in returning to the world of Zootopia. I would guess, just based on Disney's recent track record, you know, they made a sequel to Wreck-It Ralph, they made a sequel to Frozen, so it would seem like Zootopia would be a good candidate for that. Especially just because it's such a vast world they created, there's so much left to explore there.
Now, animated sequels is becoming quite the trend. I mean, DreamWorks and Illumination and Pixar have been going crazy with them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Was there a rumor or talk of possibly an animated series at one point? Because you have this world and characters that you just build upon, like they did with other films.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. It's possible.
The quality would suffer to have to make a series, because it takes a long while to make something like the movie. But
yeah.
TV series, I mean, it's like Hanna-Barbera. It's going to look like that. You want that?
Well, Walt Disney Television Animation was known for high-quality animated shows.
That's true, yeah.
When Gummy Bears premiered in 1985, their first one, a lot of the TV animation studios like Hanna-Barbera had to step up in their quality.
Up to more recently, animated sequels weren't doing very well, you know, like... for example, The Rescuers Down Under wasn't as...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
That was kind of lackluster.
Now I just want to talk a little bit about Zootopia and the furry fandom. So, naturally, being a movie about anthropomorphic animals, Zootopia generated a lot of hype in the fandom from the moment it was announced. The first teaser trailer debuted back in June 2015, defined anthropomorphic and ended with a furry pun. Anybody remember what the pun was?
Be fur.
Yep.
Watch it last night.
Which naturally that set up a lot of speculation that Disney was marketing specifically to furries. In the meantime, furry groups around the world started organizing dedicated showings for the opening weekend.
Well,
this is a picture from one.
Yeah.
I'm not sure where that was, but it's like a lot of fun. Hopefully they'll do that again. If
I did.
What's that?
I did it.
Oh, really?
I actually get to see it on March 3rd because I saw somewhere that select theaters were showing it on that Thursday night, the night before. So I saw it on March 3rd.
Oh, wow.
Like 9 o'clock at night, yeah.
No, I can.
Danvers, Mass.
Yeah. So adding to the speculation, 2 days before the movie premiered, BuzzFeed reported that Furlife, a Seattle-based meetup.com group, got an email from Allied Integrated, which is a marketing agency hired by Disney. You can see a redacted version of the email, well, you might not be able to read it, but basically it was asking the members of the group to share photos of themselves on social media using a couple of hashtags in exchange for film-based items. I think my favorite part of that email is when it says, all of you could live peacefully in Zootopia. This is great. Of course, both Disney and Allied Integrated had no comments, so we don't know if it was just like one rogue employee at this marketing firm or if Disney was instructing them to do this. Yeah, kind of amusing at any rate. So on this slide, I just collected some quotes from a few well-known furries and then just some others that I found on discussion boards and stuff about what the movie means to them. So Chip Fox said, we're all about showing what it would be like if we were all different species. Movie's a great example of how some things actually work in the furry community. Augie Wolf says, the first time I've ever seen furries en masse go to a movie, it's a huge impact, and furries are acknowledging it by attending it. Anthro Kuhn, who is here with
right
us
over here,
today,
recording it for posterity.
He often posts on the Zootopia Facebook groups, enjoyed and recorded the Anthrocon panels. When I watch the film, I don't want to leave, which is actually exactly how I feel when I watch it. And a few others there. But yeah, it definitely means a lot to a lot of people, a lot of furries. So it's great to see how it's inspired people. I did some research looking for Zootopia-inspired fursuiters. Of course, we're lucky to have Takala here today, which is great. Also found... Lieutenant Knight has this great ZPD-inspired persona and fursuit, which is awesome. A few picks up there. And then this was at a Zootopia fur meet in Southern California. A couple of cool Nick and Judy fursuits there.
Yeah, there was a ZPD lion on the Gateway Cruise at Anthrocon. We had like a boat cruise, and someone was a ZPD lion on there.
Nice. Just going to talk for a couple minutes about what Zootopia means to me personally. So I first saw it in June of 2016, shortly after it became available on demand. Of course, I'd heard about it. I saw the teaser trailer when I saw Inside Out. And I knew it was getting rave reviews, so I was really eager to see it. So I rented it, and I just loved it. I just fell in love with it. I loved the characters. I loved the music. I love the humor and the mix of police procedural and different genres. I thought it was really, really terrific. Actually, just bear with me for one second here. It looks like my slides are a little out of order. Yeah, there we go. So I was particularly moved by the message of the movie. I went back and found my Facebook post from right after I saw it. I thought it was, like a lot of critics noted, it was very timely. It just reminds me of, unfortunately, how things kind of are in our country right now. I'm a pretty young guy, but it just seems like we're becoming, we've become more and more polarized and divided as a country, unfortunately. And so, I was really reminded of that, in the later parts of Zootopia. I thought it was a really, really great message of, trying to overcome bias and prejudice and, how those things aren't easy, but, it's really worth it to make the effort. Another great thing that Zootopia did for me, another reason I'll always love it, is it reignited my love of drawing. I used to draw all the time as a kid. I would spend hours at the kitchen table just doodling away. I loved Calvin and Hobbes and Foxtrot and Garfield. I actually had my own comic strip about a cat named Flexi, which was basically a ripoff of various Calvin and Hobbes and Foxtrot strips, but I love doing it. And I never stopped drawing completely, but over the years I was just doing it less and less, and when I would try to go back to it, it was just hard for me to find inspiration. But like right after I saw Zootopia, I was like really inspired. So about a month later, I did this drawing of Judy. And then about a month later, I did this sketch of Nick. And then fast forward about 3 years, and now the walls of my room look like this. So, thank you. Yeah, but it's just been so fun getting back into it. I kind of forgot what a great outlet it is. For me, it's kind of a sanctuary, I guess. It helps me get out of my own head and just get lost in a drawing, and creating my own persona has been great and a lot of fun. So I'll always be grateful to Zootopia for, you know, kind of reigniting that creative spark in me. The other thing it's done, it's really deepened my love of animation in general. It really kind of prompted me to go out and, you know, explore and try movies that I hadn't watched before. I watched Robin Hood for the first time, which is like required viewing for every furry, of course. I checked out some of the early Disney movies, Bambi, Pinocchio, Fantasia, and they're all great. Also got Bolt up there, which I love, Rock Dog, which I don't know if a lot of people have seen, but I really like. Studio Ghibli, I wish I had discovered Studio Ghibli earlier. I've just fallen in love with all those movies, like Kiki's Delivery Service and Princess Mononoke. They're awesome. Takotsuko, it's a lot of fun. It's been really fun just exploring all that. And also helped get me into the furry fandom, which has been great. I dabbled in it a little bit before Zootopia, and it would still be another year and a half or so before I really kind of joined, but it definitely got the wheels moving, and I went to A&E last year, had a ball, it was so much fun, and, you know, been looking forward to this year ever since. It's definitely been a great thing for me. So now I just want to show a few pieces of art from Dan Wolfie, who's here with us.
I can explain something. Yeah, remember how Disney used to release the read-along book and audio sets on vinyl record? Well, I whipped that up in Photoshop. If there was a 70s or 80s style read-along record in Zootopia, like story and song, how after the story plays out, it would conclude with a portion, with a edited version of Try Everything, like a lot of the read-alongs used to do, with one or two songs from the film.
Right.
Complete with see the pictures, hear the record, read the book. Right. I'm sure a lot of you may remember those.
Yeah.
And they also offer them on cassette as well.
Yeah, that's super cool.
Yeah, and this a Photoshop edit of Zootopia was released on VHS, specifically in the Classics collection with that black diamond logo.
If you were born after like 1998 or so, you might never have seen one of those. But,
my family has a collection.
Days before Netflix and DVDs, if you wanted to see a movie, you had to go to something called a video store. Blockbuster, one of those.
Collection. It would have opened with this before the film.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. On Disney's animated storybooks. Anyone remember those? Like, it was a CD-ROM. There were CD-ROM games that was like an interactive animated storybook that retold a Disney movie, and they'd have mini games in it and stuff. They did them of like, let's see, The Lion King, Pocahontas, and Toy Story, the Winnie the Pooh featurettes, 101 Dalmatians, Mulan, The Little Mermaid, etc. So I whipped up one for Zootopia in Photoshop.
Awesome. Thanks,
I bet a lot of us, like, even at our adult age, we buy what's that.
Great. Thank you for sharing that. They're really awesome.
You're welcome.
So before I turn it over to Carla, I did this fun little countdown here of, like, my favorite moments from Zootopia. It was going to be 10, but there were a few others I wanted to include. So number 13, that noise the elephant at the Jumbo's Cafe makes when he's spraying the peanuts onto the ice cream. You can't really do it, but it's like, that's so funny. Let's see. Of course, Flash's laugh. I think people,
yes.
Even people who haven't seen Zootopia, I think probably know that clip.
I love
like the 5 seconds like after
scene.
Yeah. I love the way Flash slowly turns smile.
Finnick cracks up after Judy hustles Nick. Friend scene. Happy birthday. I love that. Number 9, that dumbfounded expression on Nick's face.
Summer, Maurice LaMarche.
Number 8, when they're taking Judy and Nick back, and one of the polar bears just pulls out his phone and you just hear oh oh oh. Number 7, when Judy's trying to point out to Clawhauser that he has a donut stuck in his neck. He's like, in your neck. Love that. Number 6, when they're at the Mystic Springs Oasis, it shows the giraffe just immediately swats down the volleyball. So funny.
Mattress club.
Number 5, when Judy accidentally slaps Bellwether's wall and Nick is like feeling it. Number 4, just when it cuts away and you see all the polar bear henchman there. That's just one of the best gags. Number 3, Clawhauser catches Bellwether on the tail. not now. Gotta love it. Number 2, really sweet moment there when Nick forgives Judy. Just really, really heartwarming. I love that part. And then number 1, that just gets me every time. I love the expression on Nick's face. It's like he's finally like genuinely happy for the first time, and he's really like grateful to his friend Judy for helping him become the fox he always wanted to be. And I just love this quote to wrap up here. Zootopia is a film about recognizing that our world is complicated, that life is complicated for all of us. The film also says that the challenges we face each day are made bearable by leaning on one another and learning together. So I thought that was a really, really nice way to sum it all up. All right, so now I'm going to turn over to Kala, and I will work the slides here.
Thank you.
Right here is, I don't know if anyone's familiar with the Recurrent, a beautiful artist. She's done a lot of art for me, including my persona art, and this is art that was specifically commissioned for me as ideas for Werewolf Nick. So I was playing around with either Officer Werewolf Nick, which I ended up doing, or just traditional. And I had like a little Twitter poll, and whatever got the most votes I ended up running with. So that's what I ended up with, Officer Werewolf Wild. Just wanted to post that up there. That was my inspiration. And Zootopia actually has a really special meaning to me because I was a furry since high school, but I was just so nervous to join the fandom. There was like stigmas with it, and I just kind of kept it to myself. And when Zootopia came out, and I saw the trailer, and all of a sudden you start hearing about all these furries, so I reached out to Cirrus, who runs the Rhode Island group there, and I attended my first Rhode Island Fur Bowl, and since then I've just like run wild with it. I started going to cons. I believe this is my third con at A&E. Done Fur Epoch, movies. It's been a blast.
And I met you at last year's Boston Comic Con.
Yes, yep.
Oh, yeah.
So definitely a special call to Cirrus. Incredible leader for the Rhode Island group there. So anyways, after joining the Rhode Island Furry Group, I also worked at Hasbro for 6 years, and I was designing toys there, and there's a lot of creative folks. And without so much saying I was a furry, I kind of let on that I was, and they really inspired me, like, okay, you know, do this, do that, make a Nick Wilde suit. So I'm like, you know what, sure, I'm going to go for it. One thing was, when I tried to make, I just couldn't. It was just, you got to leave it up to professionals. In my opinion, I'm not that good with furry parts, so I ended up commissioning all the fur, like the face, the paws, the feet. There's just some things I found that I just left to the professionals. It is very difficult. With that said, I loved making props, though. It was one of my special passions.
and I specifically ended up taking a few sewing classes just so I could kind of make the clothes. So I did the clothes for Nick, and then I did the Jumbo Pop. And that shot right there is my first A&E 2 years ago, and it was quite challenging walking around with the Jumbo Pop, as you'll see in a couple of slides.
Yeah. What material did you make it out of the pop?
Oh, it was all styrofoam.
Oh, really?
Yep, just lazy styrofoam.
Yeah, it's nice and light.
Yeah. It got a little...
Were you here last year, right?
Yes.
Oh, remember they had like three nicks from last year?
Yes, yeah.
I was one of them.
You were one of them. Nice.
Yes, that's me.
Yeah. The pose that you two act like I was going crazy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Do you still have that photo on for Affinity?
Yes, I do.
Oh I think I saw that one.
Oh yeah. You getting arrested?
This one was a little different. Like I'm seeing double.
It's three nicks from another dimension. All.
Yeah, the pop is exceedingly heavy and awkward carrying it around. It probably weighs about 15 pounds because there's so much paint, glue on it, clear coats, so ended up weighing quite a lot. But it was quite a fun prop, probably definitely my favorite one, actually. And then, I'm like, you know what, I'm having so much fun as this character, I just want to kind of run wild and do different variants of Nick. So the one I do at the Ryland Bowls a lot is Officer Nick Wilde, and that I have a lot of fun with. So again, I did the clothes. And much more simpler to walk around too. You're not carrying that Jumbo Pop, and you can actually somewhat pull on it. So this picture is my favorite because if you look really close, this is around Comic Con, and that's me going up obviously escalator. But if you look, there's a sign right there, and that was captured the second before my Jumbo Pop collided with the sign.
Oh.
Yeah, that happens. The sign stopped swinging around. I have no clue until I get up there and I look back. Like, what is that sound? It's just flopping in the back. People are looking. Also, at Rhode Island Comic Con, I had another near encounter. I don't know if anyone's been to Providence Mall and you're walking on the Sky Bridge there. Walking around with the Jumbo Pop, and I took a chunk out due to one of the sprinklers. So thank God somehow I set the sprinkler on.
Oh.
So just a note with big props to be careful.
At least in here, the sprinklers are like on the top of the wall.
Yeah. Yeah, the moon actually was a lot larger, and I kind of cut that down because I don't want to run into some theme issues. So then I just thought, again, a little goofy with some of the variations here. That was at Furpock when the theme was Thriller. What if Nick Wilde got the Infinity Gauntlet? You know, the Infinity Gauntlet, terrible in my comments and such. If you can imagine Nick as a baseball player, obviously his favorite team would be the
Boston Red Fox.
Oh, wow.
And then obviously one of his favorite things on the side would be gambling because he's quite the hustler. A lot of the shots were taken by Zeke. He was a Purple Husky. You've probably seen him dance, and he's an amazing photographer as well. So definitely encourage anyone. He does that professionally, and he's taken some of these wonderful shots here. So shout out to Zeke, too. The next thing I ended up doing was Rocket Raccoon. That was a lot of fun. The gun took me about 250 hours to make. Same thing, I led the furry stuff with the professionals here and did the clothes and the props for. And then someone sent me along that picture right there. Obviously with Nick cosplaying as Rocket Raccoon, and I actually fell in love with it. So that's definitely coming next. Maybe at Furpock, maybe at the A&E. That's what I could do. So I think that's going to be fun. Instead of fruit on my shoulder, I think it'll be a little thick in the delta suit. So I think that'd be fun. This was definitely my favorite moment cosplaying as Officer Wilde there. I believe that was Boston Con, if not mistaken, and I ran into a Disney artist, James Mulligan, and he actually worked on the movie. He did some storyboards and some art, and I saw this picture, and we started chatting, and it was an original, and I purchased it. Really nice guy. It's just cool to actually meet one of the artists that actually worked on Zootopia. It was quite the moment there. I fell in love with his art, and at the same time, I had a commission Robin Hood with Ben to show a picture of, and he did it right there at the show. So it's just favorite time there. Just a little picture below is just my persona there, and I always post derpy pictures of myself on Twitter and different wild get-ups. So.
Holly, there's a Holly. Awesome. There's a Holly got MP4 there.
It's not working, so but I will repost it on Twitter. There's a very funny moment where I slipped the Ryland Bowl, and not very good at bowling in my paws, and I'm not paying attention, and the lane clear is coming, and I bowl underhand, and it hits the clear, bounces back. But okay, I go to get the ball, and I just quickly fall, not realizing the floor is all waxed. So someone caught that, and a lot of good laughing, and it just keeps replaying me going up there and just falling down.
Awesome. Thanks, Nicole. It's awesome.
Well, thank you so much, too. Thank you.
All right, so we got about 10 minutes left, so I'm going to open it up now. If anyone would like to, you know, share what Zootopia means to them.
Yeah, sorry for the late arrival, but yeah. Yeah, I've been waiting for this movie ever since I first learned about it, like in early 2014, of course, in time of Furry. I mean, and I knew Disney was going to deliver, but this exceeded all our expectations, you know, in terms of, you know, the reviews it got, like on Rotten Tomatoes, 99%, and you know, how was the number one grossing movie at the box office for a few weeks, and also even beating out Frozen. And we all know Frozen was a hit movie.
Yeah. Disney's biggest is the Lion King.
Yep. Yeah. And of course, Toby Ball.
And for me, like, I remember as a little girl, I would watch Disney movies like Bambi, Dumbo. And I watch a lot of anthropomorphic cartoons. But what it means to me mostly is, like, I noticed, like, in middle school, you know, when kids become teenagers, like, everyone would watch, like, teen sitcom shows. But it's not something I really like. I like cartoons with anthropomorphic animals. So when I saw Zootopia, I was really happy. And these movies inspired me to become an animator. So,
awesome.
I'm learning to make animations. So that's what Zootopia means to me.
That's great. That's great. That's awesome to hear.
Yeah. Well, one thing, you'll Zootopia, like, first of all, when it first came out, you were kind of, I saw that teaser trailer and I thought that, all that stuff about, anthropomorphic animals and, predator and prey, that's all old hat to us furries.
Right.
And the thing is that, first of all, it provides a kind of a positive image of the furry fandom, which was much needed back then because, as you may know, we're still trying to get rid of the, bad image by,
sure.
You're part of fandom.
Sure,
like fur and loathing, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Right, right, right.
And then of course, there's the issues that talk about, politicians trying to grab power by creating fake crises. That's really, we all know that's happened before.
Right, right. Yeah, Dan did you want?
Yeah, another thing I'd also like to bring up, really, when I first saw the movie at Showcase Cinemas in Randolph when it came out, watching it with my brother and some friends who are also Disney fans, like the part when Judy Hopps got onto the train, rode into Zootopia, saying goodbye to her parents, a little worried, that reminded me of when I went to my first furry convention in August 2014, the old Maltese Fur Con.
Awesome.
I was going to say that, there are stereotypes that are not proven in the movie and some that are,
Right.
But there are things you see, there's the fat cop or whatever, but what is he? He's a cheetah. You think of them as being fast and everything,
right.
But he's not typical in that way. And you have a fox. Oh, people are just going to see a fox.
You mean Vulpine American. Please.
Oh, yeah. if people are only going to see a fox as shifty or whatever like that, then what else do I hear? And by the way, in British slang, to nick something is to steal it.
Right.
Or a cop can nick a criminal. So
right.
I wonder if that was part of the name.
Yeah,
I think Zootopia was like a really good, like, I have been in the furry fandom for maybe like over a year now, because I went to A&E last year, and that was my first convention ever, so now I'm back and this is my second convention ever. But I love, my favorite part of the movie is like when it's like right after the climax and like right after like the whole like there's like a bunch of like animals like fighting and like I think someone I think like maybe a gazelle or something like that screams to like a leopard or something saying like, or not a leopard, like a cheetah or something saying like, go back to the jungle, and then she says, oh, I'm from the savannah. Like, I think that's like so like telling. I don't know, like that moment really stuck with me because that's so telling of like there's like so much like racial inequality and there's like a lot of like, it's like a huge euphemism for it. Especially like here in America where like everybody's so diverse, like it's like a melting pot of like so many people. So I really love like the detail that they really put into the movie, into like equating, but like the stereotypes that like certain animals have could be like compared to like stereotypes that like humans have.
Right.
And I think what makes it so great, and I think a part, like, what makes the message so great is that it's not about, it's not technically about humans, it's about animals.
Right.
So it makes not only easier to, like, understand the concept, but also, like, for kids to, like, understand that concept in, like, a way that, you know, it's a way that anybody can understand, because they put it, like, you could have, like, the same exact, like, storyline with humans, but it wouldn't really go as well as if you put animals, because animals are like a worldwide thing.
Right.
Everybody loves animals, basically.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think the level of detail and like care that they put into this movie, I think, is really amazing. And I think if they do come up with a sequel, I hope that they keep all the original artists and, you know,
definitely,
all the directors and everything, so that it comes out with the same level of quality that the original movie came out with.
Absolutely, yeah. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah.
Don't you think movies like Zootopia inspire like positive feelings in the community and the urge to get out and meet more, and that in turn has generated more groups getting together, the formation of meetups? I don't know. I know there's a Rhode Island meetup group, right? And they're springing
Boston,
up. But I think,
yeah,
in Boston. So I just think that movies like this do two things. They inspire people to come together, and that's a great social outlet. It gives positivity to their interest. And I think it also promotes the messages that, as you said, are so culturally needed right now. So kudos on both points, the message and getting together to meet up.
Do
you have meetups in the areas where you all come from?
Everyone should.
Definitely, you know, had both a great message and helped a lot of furries, you know, kind of realize that they weren't alone, I think, and seen that a lot reading about the movie.
And there are some very funny parts and also very sad parts.
Yeah.
Like when, you know, Nick tries to join the Junior Rangers and he gets
so
thrown out and he starts crying, and even I'm crying thinking about it's happened to us.
Yeah.
So we can identify with it, you know, that's the whole thing.
Yeah. Anyone who hasn't shared, we have like 2 minutes left. Anyone who hasn't wanna say anything? Anyone who has shared want to say anything else, or anyone?
Oh, okay. During March 4th, does anybody notice that in your community celebrate the film's release that day?
Well, like the anniversary?
Yeah, the anniversary. I noticed some guy in Florida that hosted a Zootopia party.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, maybe have to get one started. Nice.
If they do a sequel, it's still going to be a few years off. They haven't even announced.
Yeah. Let's
be patient.
I mean, like as much as like I love Zootopia, and I feel like you almost can't improve on it, like, mainly, I would love to just go back to the world, explore all those parts that we haven't
seen.
There's
fan fiction, there's fan art.
Right, see where Nick and Jude's relationship goes. All that.
Yeah.
What was that?
Oh, yeah. Shanghai Disney.
Oh, yeah, Shanghai Disney.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Who knows? There are rumors they may do something similar at the Animal Kingdom in Walt Disney World.
Oh, that would be cool.
Yeah.
We'll have to see what happens there. But it is 11, so I gotta wrap it up. But thank you all so much for coming out.
Let's do it next year.